So our goal at Hill Country is to see people encounter Jesus, to hear the gospel, to be able to respond to the gospel and grow in their faith.
And whenever you have the opportunity to see God's people be able to experience the power of God being demonstrated through them, I think that's successful.
I love One Mission, and if it's not working, then we've missed the call of Christ.
It's about people, real people that are living and dying right next to us and have not yet been reached.
One Mission at Brushy Creek has been amazing. That's the reason we have a campus. We've been able to launch and launch really strong. We had a great core group of people who caught the vision of One Mission, and that was to extend the reach and just experiencing a great sense of community, a great church right there in the Brushy Creek area.
One of the things that One Mission has allowed us to do, and it's just tremendous, is we've been able to purchase really the last remaining land in Steiner Ranch to put a church building on that property, which will be the center, the hub of not just of our worship services, but also a place where we can gather the community.
When I first heard about Saturate Austin, it just offered something that I felt was missing, something that I could go to, attend, get equipped, and feel stronger in the Word for the job that God has called me to, but also as a member of this church and being in my community.
So what we're asking our participants in Saturate Austin to do is we want to equip them with tools for them to be able to winsomely engage their culture so that others may hear the gospel from their lips. And I dream that there'll be future elders. I see future teachers. I see future pastors. I see people that are willing to go plant churches. It's going to take an army of people to reach this city.
We are part of a transformational movement that actually has the opportunity to re-evangelize the United States. That's why we formed the Christ Together Network. We have 37 cities that are modeling what is happening here in Austin through the unity of the churches and a desire to saturate the city with the gospel. And we see this expanding to every major city in the United States. And your commitment to be involved in One Mission is actually funding the expansion of this movement. People have been so excited about being part of a dream and a vision that's so huge to do something unique in our lifetime.
By giving to One Mission, people have been able to see the gospel spread into some of the darkest areas spiritually around the world.
I'm Barnabas from East Asia. I want to say thank you for your partnership in our ministry.
Your gift of giving has just enabled us to do incredible things here in Istanbul, Turkey. I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for helping us accomplish what the Lord has put on our heart as a team and our part of the Great Commission.
There's nothing like giving generously and sacrificially to something. It changes your heart, it changes your perspective, it changes the way you worship Him when you get to see that God is moving, God is in the midst of that.
There's an incredible sense of joy when you have the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than yourself.
There is still a significant impact that any one person can do, so it's never too late to get involved.
God has placed you here, A, for His glory, and B, so that you can reach those people that He created you to reach.
Someday, when we stand in the presence of Jesus Christ, we're going to get an opportunity to see the impact of our life's work. And I believe that One Mission is going to have significant impact. Well, good morning. I want to welcome you to Hill Country Bible Church, to our services. And for those of you joining us at Steiner Ranch in Brushy Creek, we welcome you. For those of us who are joining us at our evening service, we say good evening to you. And we're just excited today because two things have come together. One, this is the Sunday before the week of Thanksgiving. And so we want to prepare our hearts for this week and for Thanksgiving and our celebration of what God is doing and how He's blessed us. But we also have a chance to celebrate our one-year anniversary of what God is doing through One Mission. And we're going to do both of those in this message. And so I don't know if you guys have ever found yourself in a real dilemma where you've got some kind of an overwhelming obstacle that appears to be insurmountable, but yet in the end it actually turns out to be an amazing opportunity. That's what we faced. 3 years ago as a church, we were overly crowded, particularly in this service at the Lakeline campus, and we couldn't get another person in the room. In fact, we were actually turning people away. In addition to that, we were seeing our student ministry just busting at the seams. We couldn't actually get another person in the room. And even though we've always been a generous church, we've always been giving away people. We've planted 28 churches, giving away resources. We started the Steiner campus to expand the ministry. Even though we have always done that, we felt like we were kind of jammed up. We couldn't really move anymore. Now, some of you may be thinking to yourself, like, well, isn't Hill Country Bible Church big enough? Like, why would we even care about that? Why would we just not say, we've got enough people, let somebody else take care of the needs of the city? Well, if that's what you think, you don't know Hill Country very much. The reason why we continue to reach people is because God continues to bring people to our city. 150 people a day are moving to Greater Austin, and the goal is to reach every man, woman, and child with the love of God. We want everybody to experience Jesus, to see how good he is and what he can do to transform us and to experience the freedom and the forgiveness that comes in him. And so we continue to try to figure out ways to reach people with the gospel, disciple them, give them a place to come and worship and learn and grow. And so we were kind of stuck. And so we kind of followed conventional wisdom in the first few phases. We started thinking, well, if you run out of space, what do? You build some more space. And it made sense to take the Lakeline campus and expand it and finish it out because we don't have any debt. The land is all paid for. Seemed like this would be the best place to do it. And then after we get the Lakeline campus full, that we'll be able to then move out and do some other campuses, other church planning and so forth. And in the midst of all that, we started realizing that the project would take about 6 years of effort and energy to do all that. And we started asking the question, well, is that the best use of focus? Is that really what we want to be doing for the next 6 years? Is focusing on expanded facilities and money and all the stuff related to that? In the process of that, we recognize the condition of the world is such that we don't know that we have 6 more years. I mean, Jesus could come back at any time. Certainly, we're closer to that than ever before. We don't know how much time we have left. We don't want to put all of our focus into something that maybe is not where we ought to be. So as we began to pray through that, God started leading us along a path where we started thinking, are there ways that we could mobilize into gospel activity that has an immediate impact today, but also be building infrastructure for the future? And that's where we landed on One Mission. In other words, today we want to seize the opportunity to see our church experience growth and touch more people, but also to see our city and the churches in our city also blessed and moving forward. And we want to not only train leaders so that we have people to lead into the harvest, but we also want to secure land so that we have a platform for our future campuses. We not only want to plant churches, but we want to prepare and plant campuses to move forward. We not only want to reach our nation now, but we want to reach the nations. And so One Mission all came together around that singular idea. Is there a possibility that we could do the both and, do both of them right now and move things forward in a significant way? And so a year ago, we launched One Mission. One Mission to move the gospel forward in very significant ways. Now, so some of you say, I don't really know much about what this is. And some of you say, I can't really remember what this is all about. And I get that because this is one of those things that's multifaceted. There's so many moving parts. It's not like building a building while you're watching the bricks and mortar and steel go up and you're thinking to yourself, well, I can see where my resources are going. There's so much going on. And so I want to just take a few minutes to thank you for your investment and to give you an update on how God is using your resources to impact the world. So if you look, you'll see that you have on the inside of your bulletin a little bit of information there. If you didn't get a bulletin when you came in, just nudge over next to the person beside you, look on theirs, and we're going to give you a little bit of information. Let me just say that what you're going to see in your bulletin on these gold pages is just a little taste of the multitude of things that God is doing through your faithfulness and your investment in this ministry. So starting with one church, as you look at one church, we wanted to make an immediate impact now. So we're planting two churches now. We launched the Brushy Creek campus now. We're looking in the not-too-distant future to launch a Leander campus. We actually have a little bit of room in the Lakeline campus now, not tons, but we have a little bit because of launching people into the Brushy Creek campus who actually live in that area. We've had over 400 first-time visitors visit from the Brushy Creek area, visit that campus that probably wouldn't have driven to Lakeline and certainly wouldn't have gone to Steiner Ranch. And so that's an immediate thing that we're doing. But at the same time, we want a platform for the future. So we've purchased land in Steiner Ranch. In fact, the last piece of land sits right there behind the Randalls from 620. When you drive by, you can see right where it's going to sit up on a hill so that people from the Lakeway community can see it. And at some point in the future, that will become a future permanent campus. And so building for the future while immediately addressing opportunities. That's one church. Let me just say, at Steiner Ranch, our student ministry has grown 50% in the last year. 50%. Isn't that awesome? So some people think that that's just snotty-nosed teenagers. Sorry, Steiner. I know your kids wipe their nose. Some people think that, like, what's the big deal about that? Let me tell you what the big deal about that is. This morning, I've already had a young man come to me and say, I'm a pastor in Fort Collins, Colorado, but I always want to come back and visit with you guys because when you were in the church behind the Dairy Queen across the street, a little church, I was a Westwood High School student that came to Christ in this ministry, and now I'm a pastor in Fort Collins. What's happening in our student ministry matters. In addition to that, at the Steiner campus, we've seen a 100% increase in adults serving in ministry. That's awesome. God's working. So that's one church. Many other things there you can look at it, and there's many beyond that. But let's move to one city. When it comes to reaching the city of Austin, we wanted to immediately get involved in something, so we're doing with 280 other churches in Austin. Can you believe that? 280 other churches in Austin. We're doing the Love Where You Live campaign. Love Where You Live, we're mobilizing each of us to reach out and meet our neighbors. Just like Jesus said, the second commandment, like the first, the greatest, love your neighbor as yourself. If each of you and all the people in all the churches that are participating in that will just go meet your neighbors and begin to pray for them, we'll have over 500,000 people in Greater Austin that have a Christian who knows their name and is praying for them. I believe God's going to change our city because of this, and we're working with other churches in the city to see this happen. Now, while we're doing this, we're also interacting with the leaders of the city of Austin, Cedar Park, Round Rock, other people talking to them about how beneficial this is to them, and they tell us, this is so awesome. If the people of God become good neighbors in our city, it will change everything about the quality of life in our city. So they actually believe that Jesus had a good idea. Even those who don't believe in him believe that he had a good idea. And that if we just do it, it'll make a huge difference. So that's what we're doing in the immediate. But you can also see that we've started the Saturate Austin Institute, which is a leadership development track to train you in incredible ways to be able to take your leadership to a higher level, to be able to minister to people, to be able to lead new and additional projects, to be able to grow personally in your faith. And we launched the first class of that. Now, the vision would be that we would see this launched in churches all over Greater Austin, and people would be trained at a high level in churches all over Greater Austin. So a couple things for our city. When it comes to our nation, I mean, who in this room actually thinks that things are getting better in the U.S. of A? Didn't think so. So what is the church going to do? Do we sit back and do we rail against what's going on? Or do we do the most important thing that people need today, and that's to bring the love of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ to our cities? Right now, in the United States, there are 184 cities that have a population of 250,000 or more, representing 75% of the population of the U.S. Through our One Mission campaign, we are underwriting a major portion of a Christ Together network that is working to see pastors come together in all 184 of those cities to work in unity to lead their people to saturate their cities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 184 cities. Now, when I did the video that you just saw a minute ago, I said 37. I can report to you today that there are actually 40 cities that currently are doing that in the United States. So Monday morning, I'm in the airport getting ready to get on a plane to fly to Denver to talk to pastors in Denver about what God could do in that city. And while I'm on the plane, I get a text message from a guy who sends me an article, and I open the article, look at it. The article is about the new world-class cities. So, you know the old world-class cities, right? Paris, Berlin, London, New York. You know the old world cities. These are new emerging smaller cities that are popping up around the world that are actually having a greater influence in the culture and thinking of the world than the old world cities. And there are five new ones in the U.S. Houston, Austin, Denver, Seattle, and the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. There are Christ Together cohorts doing what we're doing in Houston, Austin, Denver, Seattle. And I just got contacted by one of the city leaders in the Bay Area asking, can we talk about what God's doing in our nation and what he could be doing in the Bay Area? That's what God's doing in our nation right now. So in the long term, we're building some infrastructure. We actually have regional directors in four major regions that are following up with these cities, coaching them, helping them, that came about because of One Mission. In addition to that, when we look at the world, we've got immediate needs in the world. And over the last year, we've sent five missionaries to unreached people groups in Asia. Five missionaries on the ground serving immediately. It's happening now. But we're also looking to the future. We have funded translation projects that are underway currently. Those translation projects will bring the Bible and the gospel to over 1.2 million people in unreached groups that have no access right now. They have no access to the Bible, and that's just two of the things that we're doing on the global scale. There are many, many other things as well. So I just want to tell you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, for our church, for our city, for the nation, for the world, thank you for your generous investment in One Mission. You're making a difference in the world. Things are changing because of your faith and your investment. Now what's interesting to me is we have our one-year anniversary and we have Thanksgiving the same week. And I want to say thank you to you, but I also want you to be prepared to have the best Thanksgiving you've ever had. And the way you have the best Thanksgiving you've ever had is when you get your mind around what Thanksgiving is all about and you get your heart connected to the heart of God. So let's spend some time talking about that now. Let's spend some time focusing on that. Oftentimes we think that when we're generous with our service, with our intellectual capital that we share, with our financial resources, we think that when we're generous with that, we're doing somebody a favor. So it's not hard to think that when we're giving our time to God, when we're using our mind share, our mind capital for God, when we're giving our financial resources to God, it's not hard for us to easily make this shift to think, well, I'm doing God a favor. Typically, when we do somebody a favor, we feel good about ourselves. But we also don't get the full magnitude of the blessing behind the favor. Let me change your mind a little bit in the way you think. In fact, if you'd like, open your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to look at a passage of Scripture where David interacts with people over this topic. So let me give you the background and the setting of what's happening in 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David has this passion to see a temple built in Jerusalem. David loves God. He loves to worship God. David is a songwriter. He's a musician. He's a choral singer. David is one who cares about the worship of God. He wants to build a magnificent house for God's presence to dwell in, so people from all over Israel and people from the nations can come there and connect with God. Well, he doesn't just want to build any old house. He wants to build a magnificent, glorious house. And so he goes into his riches. I mean, he's the king. He's got a lot of cash. So he goes into his riches. He brings forth all kinds of stuff. Gold, silver, bronze, iron, trees, wood, all kinds of stuff. Craftsmen to build this magnificent temple. And then he turns to the leaders of the people and he says to them, I want you to be generous. I want you to give as well. And they give. They give so much that everything that's needed has been given. And you would think at that point in time, David would be patting himself on the back a little bit. Yeah, I'm doing good. And telling the people, hey, you guys, man, you're the best. Look what you've done. But that's not what he does. He redirects everybody's focus. And I want you to see how he does that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, he says this. David praised the Lord in the presence of the assembly, saying, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. He goes on to say, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. Why? For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom, and you are exalted as head over all. What's David saying? David is saying that we are grateful to you. Not to ourselves for what we've done. We're grateful to you. Why? Because everything on this planet, including the planet itself, is from you. It's a gift from you. In other words, when was the last time you asked yourself the question, how grateful am I to be alive? How grateful am I to be alive? And why am I here? Well, if it wasn't for a benevolent, life-giving God who gives life to humanity, we wouldn't be drawing a breath. So before we focus on our generosity, we begin by focusing on our gratitude. Thank you, God, for giving me life. You may be going into this week of Thanksgiving expecting the worst Thanksgiving you've ever had. But you ought to at least be grateful that you're here to have it, right? Okay? So watch, he goes on. In verse 12, he says, wealth and honor come from you. In other words, the resources in the planet from which we derive our wealth were put here by God. We just dig them up and rearrange them and make them into something useful. But actually, they come from God. So when was the last time you looked at everything you have and asked the question, am I grateful for what I have? God, you're the one who gave it to me. You say, now wait a minute. I worked for it, right? I really worked for it. Watch what he says. He says, wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and watch, to give strength to all. Where do you get the strength to be able to work to generate the wealth that you have? So, when was the last time you said, God, I am so grateful to you because the potential that I have to work and to think and to serve and to create and to do things like that, that's all actually coming from you. The very strength for me to live comes from you. I draw it from you. He goes on to say, now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. So here's the key. Gratitude comes out of a recognition that I have received something from someone who cares about me, who loves me, who's intimately interested in me. And so therefore, there's a sense of joy that somebody out there is interested in me. And that joy that turns into gratitude is one of the most important qualities for a good life that any of us can have. Most of us think that if we had better circumstances, that life would get better, but it's actually a change in here of gratitude that gives us joy and we enjoy life. One more verse, watch this. He says in verse 14, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Generosity is the product of a gratitude that comes from God providing. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. When we get a proper view of God, properly understand that He, as a benevolent, loving Father, has graced us with what we have and given us the opportunity to be generous, we're filled with joy. Here's something else. When we are grateful to God and believe in His love, generosity becomes easy because we recognize that He actually has the ability to give us more. Let me liken this to something that is tangible. Christmas time's coming up, right? There's going to be a little kid someplace that receives some form of a tricycle for Christmas. Now, what if that child who gets that tricycle, in his mind or her mind, believes that this is the best I will ever be able to squeeze out of my tight-fisted parents? Like, I don't think I'll ever see anything else come my way. What happens to that person? Like, if this is the best that Dad can provide, Mom can provide, this is all I get, this is what I got. Not only do you lose gratitude, but you're not going to be generous with it. And so the idea that graduation might be coming someday, and I may replace my tricycle with a truck because my generous, gracious Father cares and loves me, disappears. And here's what I think far too many of us are actually doing. We spend our lives hanging on to that tricycle, not ever thinking that Dad has all of the wealth in the world, all of the power in the world, all of the contentment in the world, all of the joy in the world. All of that is His. And you know what? What Dad gives you is nothing compared to Dad Himself. So here's the principle. Blessed people bless people. But it doesn't end there. Blessed people who bless people receive additional blessings from this unbelievable, awesome Father who continues to fill your cup so that you can turn around and send those blessings to others. Every word of encouragement, God will replace and give you more. Every heart of giving, God will replace with just what you need to make a difference. So when we understand the gratitude blessing, our response that turns into generosity helps us understand and connect more deeply with the Father who's got us and is going to take us places. That's when we get it. You've heard the old saying, you can't outgive God. You actually can't outgive God because everything you have came from Him in the first place, and everything you give, God's going to bless you in unbelievable ways. Now, there's so many of you in this room that could say an amen to that because you got experiences and have seen that work. But for those of you who are a little skeptical about that, I want to show you four people in our church who just in the past year through this one mission campaign have experienced that blessing. So let's watch their stories together.
When One Mission began, you know, we were going through the struggles of the financial thing, and I don't remember exactly when it was, but at some point, I felt like I was put on the spot, you know, put your money where your mouth is.
Been in Austin 16 years. Over that time, I've always gone to church, but I've never connected. I'm a working mom. I had three small children. I didn't have the time or really the capacity to volunteer and connect with the church or join a small group. I never did those things.
I think before we gave to One Mission, we were very present. You know, we attended church regularly, we tithed, we followed all the rules. We weren't intentionally outreaching, though. We were just sort of status quo, and if we happened to have a conversation with somebody about Jesus, great. We didn't seek it out before.
When Pastor Tim asked the church body to pray about the One Mission program, I thought, well, I have no idea, but I'm willing to pray about it to see. We never had any money growing up, but my mom had gotten some retirement money from my dad. My dad was an abusive alcoholic, and the things that us five kids had to go through, no child should ever have to go through. And as I prayed and I really, you know, thought about it, well, then God impressed on me that, what about that inheritance money that you got from your parents, Bob and Laura? When that thought first came to me, I was in my car. I was laughing so loud, and I started crying uncontrollable. I saw God impressing on me of whatever was done wrong in the past will be made right. And in fact, I wanted to run to church and give the money because it was so exciting to me.
You know, we're self-employed. We have a small office, a small staff. We don't reach a lot of people in numbers. But I think we were missing a little bit the people that God was directly putting in our path, bringing those relationships to a point where we could share openly about our faith.
We moved to Steiner probably 4 years ago, but it wasn't until I attended the women's retreat in October 3 years ago that I met women that had a love for God and trust. They walked with God daily, and I wanted to be more like them. And so it was at that time we started attending Steiner. And what a blessing for me and my family. You walk in on Sunday morning and the Holy Spirit is stirring. It's not just a church in Steiner Ranch. It's a community. They're dedicated to the people of Steiner, and you feel it and you see it in the community.
I think it was in probably July they started talking about Saturate Austin Institute. To take God's word and really dissect it like I've never dissected before, I'm more excited now about going deeper in His word because I'm equipped even better than I was before. So I'm so thrilled that our church, Hill Country Bible Church, offers Saturate Austin Institute. I'm so thrilled in knowing that I have tools that I'll always use the rest of my life. I am so grateful.
Last year, I started to volunteer and get involved in the children's ministry. And I've attended two Bible studies at the Commons, which honestly, if they were at the main campus, I would not have been able to attend. but also my husband. He goes to Journeyman now on Wednesday, which I'm thrilled. I'm so thrilled about that he's connecting because he goes to church with us now every Sunday. It's like I'm not the church person pushing and pulling, but he's standing beside me doing it. And that's going to pay off big time for our kids.
I gave to One Missions because I knew Bob and Laura could touch thousands of lives. But what I didn't see, I did not see that God bringing that back around to me, how that could touch me personally.
To have somebody become found in him through the work of God, and if he uses me as an instrument for that, to God be the glory, that would be amazing. But just to see someone who was lost be found in Christ would be the ultimate hallelujah.
Awesome. Blessed people, gratitude, who bless people, generosity, will receive additional blessing from God. That's how it works. And so if you would say today, you know, for me, like I'm kind of on the sidelines of my faith. I'm not in the game. I'm not using my gifts. I'm not investing financially. I'm not doing much. I'm kind of a receiver from God, but I don't dispense. Then you're missing out on so much of what God wants to teach you and do in you and through you. And so today, we just want to challenge and give you an opportunity to respond. If you would like to get in the game personally, on the back of your bulletin, there's a little tear-off there with some suggestions of how you may find ways to serve. If none of those ways fit you, but you feel like, I want to do more, just write a little note on there, turn it in, we'll get back with you. If you feel like, I want to get involved in the great, in the One Mission, this is a great opportunity to see God expand things, it's not too late. There's room for you to get in. There are two little things, two little cards in your bulletin today. If you didn't get one when you came in, you can pick them up on the way out. One of them is a prayer commitment card. Pray about it and see what God would have you give. The other one is a commitment card. Get that, fill it out, turn it in, let us know that you're joining, that you're on the team to see this world impacted with the gospel. What a great time on the week of Thanksgiving to stop and say, God, I want to feel your blessing. I want to be a blessing. And ultimately, I want to connect with you and see what you do in my life. God wants to change you, to grow you, to fill you with his love. That's why Jesus Christ left heaven, suffered, and paid for your sins. Open your hands, open your heart, open your home, and receive him today. Let's bow our heads. Father, it's my prayer for each person here that as they look forward 4 days from today, to gathering with whoever, family, friends, maybe just the family pet, I don't know. But on that day, they could stand with full experience of joy, gratitude from your hand, generosity from their hand, and changing the world by what they're doing. Father, may everybody here experience that blessing as we lean into you, for we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.